Welcome back, everybody, to Four Winds Fellowships. This is the Bereans Bible Institute, and we are in Module 2. Module 2 concerns God and His Son and what the Bible has to say about that and their relationship with one another and with us. We are in Section C of Module 2, and this is the second lesson in Section C of Module 2. Now, in Module C, we are discussing an individual that shows up repeatedly in the Old Testament. He shows up in the books of Moses in particular. He shows up again in Joshua and in Judges, and then in a few other places in the prophetic books. For example, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace in Daniel. And the thing that's unique about this particular being is that he uses God's own name as his own. There are other angels or messengers that appear, but they don't do this. There's this one person who appears repeatedly who is called both God and Yahweh, but at the same time he's Yahweh's messenger or God's messenger. So he is not identical to God himself, but he is God's personal agent, and it is clear that he has a unique role amongst all God's other agents or persons that he uses, because this person alone uses God's name as his own and uses his titles as his own and speaks as though he were God himself, yet he clearly is not God because he is his messenger. All right, so that's the important distinction about this particular person and how he appears throughout the Old Testament. Now, last time in lesson number one in Module 2C, we sort of introduced this person with sort of an overview. Today, I want to focus specifically on the messenger of Yahweh and how he interacts with Jacob. And he is given a special title that is the Mighty One of Jacob. You can see that here at the top. The Mighty One of Jacob. And there's a reason why he's called the Mighty One of Jacob, and it is because he aided Jacob throughout his entire life. He appears to Jacob early on. Once Jacob received the blessing from his father Isaac as opposed to Esau, and then Esau sought to kill him, and so Jacob flees away from the presence of his brother, and he goes to the place where his mother was from, which was actually in the area of Haran. Haran is the place where Abraham, when he first left Ur of the Chaldees, he went to Haran. He stayed there for a period of time, probably about 5 years, until his father Terah died, and then he moved on to the Promised Land. So he has some relatives apparently in Haran, and one of his relatives was Laban, which was his uncle, his mother's brother. And so he flees to that area, and he ends up working for his uncle, and he ends up with two wives, as you are well aware of the story. All right, now what we see is this messenger of Yahweh showing up at the time that he flees from his brother, confirms the covenant with him, and also aids Jacob in as he's working for Laban, and Laban is unfair to him with his wages, and we see this messenger of Yahweh assisting Jacob there and assisting him really throughout his entire life. And we're gonna kind of look at in more depth this person called the Mighty One of Jacob, or that Jacob refers to as the Mighty One of Jacob. All right, so in Genesis chapter 28, we have the incident of what is referred to often as Jacob's ladder, or the dream that Jacob had as he's fleeing from his brother. He puts down a stone for a pillow and he lays his head there, and during the night he has a dream. All right, so this is described here in Genesis 28. So let's read that. It says, "Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God," notice this plural, these are the messengers of God, "were ascending and descending on it." So there's many messengers or angels of God that are ascending between heaven and earth. But it says, "And behold, the Lord," or Yahweh, "stood above it and said," now remember, stood is something that is being observed, but remember that we saw last time, the New Testament says no one has seen God at any time, and no one has seen or can see the Father. That's clear in the New Testament. However, in this incident, it says the Lord stood above it, which means a person is standing there at the top of Jacob's ladder. And he said, "I am the Lord," or Yahweh, "the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac." Now remember, this is the same thing we saw, excuse me, in the burning bush passage in Exodus chapter 3, that the messenger of Yahweh appears and says, "I am the God of your to Moses, says, "I am the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." All right, now we're a little bit earlier here, and we're talking about Jacob. But he says, "I am the Lord, or Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac." And obviously he's the God of you, Jacob, but we'll see. "The land which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants." Again, this is a reaffirming of the Abrahamic covenant. "Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your," literally seed, singular, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Again, this is a reaffirming of the Abrahamic covenant. In case you're not aware, when God gave the covenant to Abraham, he reaffirmed it twice and swore the oath through, that is, the messenger of Yahweh, swore the oath to Abraham himself, Jacob's grandfather. Then he appears and he swears the oath of the Abrahamic covenant to Isaac, Abraham's son. And then here he swears the oath to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Right, so the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of the eternal land inheritance, is being promised to Abraham and his seed, then to Isaac and his seed, and now to Jacob and his seed. And he says, "And behold, I am with you." That is the person speaking, the person standing at the top of the ladder in Jacob's dream says, "I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and bring you to this land," that is, back to this land, "for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And this is an important statement. I am going to be there with you the entire time, your entire life, until you come back to this place. And of course, that's, if you may remember, when Jacob was eventually brought to Egypt, where Joseph was, that he died in Egypt, but he gave instructions that his bones, when God did deliver them and bring them back to the land, which he did through Moses, that they would carry his bones back and bury him in the promised land, right? So the messenger of Yahweh, or in this case, he's called Yahweh, but he's being seen. He is telling Jacob that I'm going to be your assistant. I'm going to be with you and sort of carry you through all these events of your life until you are back in this land. All right, so look at verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord, or Yahweh, is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And this is because of the ladder, right? Extending from earth, from the stone that he had his head on, all the way up to heaven. And then we have this person called Yahweh standing at the top of that. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. Notice he's anointing the stone, which is at the foot of the ladder. He's anointing that stone with oil. This is the process of anointing that we see here. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel literally means house of God in Hebrew. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. That's a comment by Moses that he is sort of appending to this account. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me," who will be with him? "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord," or then Yahweh, "will be my God." So the one Yahweh standing at the top of the ladder is promising all these things to Jacob, and Jacob is now responding and swearing an oath and pouring oil on this rock, or anointing this rock at the foot of the ladder. And he is covenanting with the one speaking to him, who's called Yahweh. He's covenanting that this person and Yahweh will be his God. "And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give thee a tenth." So he's swearing that God will be his God, and he's swearing to tithe of all that God gives him. He is going to give back a tithe. All right. Now, this is before the law of Moses. So we have here a tenth. And this is an important statement, too, because you may remember that when Melchizedek met Abraham, that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe. And we'll talk about Melchizedek in a future lesson, because Melchizedek is the angel of Yahweh, or the messenger of Yahweh. But we'll talk about that later. All right, so he's swearing to give a tithe as he responds to the Abrahamic covenant, just as Abraham gave a tithe in response to the Abrahamic covenant. All right, so the next incident that we see in Genesis, the next major incident where the messenger of Yahweh shows up, is when he's working for Laban. You may remember Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years, and he got the wrong wife, right? He got Leah instead of Rachel, and he had to work another 7 years, total of 14 years, for his second wife, Rachel. And it is through those two wives that Jacob had 12 sons, which are end up being the 12 tribes of Israel, or Jacob. All right, so in chapter 31, we see an incident where Laban is mistreating Jacob, his nephew. He's promising him one thing, and then when God blesses Jacob in all that he does, then he reneges on his promises, and he tries to manipulate the wealth that is being gained so that he owns it, as opposed to Jacob accumulating wealth. So in chapter 31, we see then the messenger or angel of Yahweh, or God, it's God here, Elohim, the messenger of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, "Jacob," and I said, "Here I am." And he said, "Lift up your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen that all Laban is doing to you. And what he's doing here is he's giving him instructions on how to breed the flocks specifically so that Jacob's portion of the flocks will accumulate as opposed to Laban's portion, because he's also caring for Laban's sheep and goats and so forth, right? So he's giving him instructions on how to breed the flocks, and through that breeding process, the messenger of Yahweh says that he is going to multiply his wealth. All right, so he says, now notice here, the angel of God, or the messenger of God, says to him, I am the God of Bethel. That is, I am the one who was standing at the top of the ladder when you named that stone the house of God. You named it Bethel, the house of God, and you had the dream there. He says, I am the one, I am the God. So the messenger of God says, I am. He's identifying the one whom Jacob saw in his dream, called God and called Yahweh, who was standing at the top of the ladder, who Jacob actually saw in his dream, right? Saw him standing. So he says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Notice, who did he make the vow to? He made the vow to the messenger of Yahweh. So what's happening here is the messenger of Yahweh is identifying himself as the one who was standing at the top of Jacob's ladder, and he's telling Jacob that you made your vow to me. And he's the one who promised to be with Jacob and to support him and prosper him and to make sure that the Abrahamic covenant is fully fulfilled through him. It's the messenger of Yahweh who is doing these things. All right, and this is part of the reason why he's called in Isaiah 9:6 in the Septuagint. His name is called the Messenger of Great Counsel. And in Malachi 1, the prophecy of Jesus says that God's going to send a messenger before him, which was John the Baptist, to prepare the way before him. And it says, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. So who is the messenger of the covenant? He's identified as Jesus in Malachi 3:1, but here it's clear who the messenger of the covenant is. This is the messenger of Yahweh who keeps appearing, confirming the Abrahamic covenant. He confirms the covenant to Abraham from heaven when he stops him from slaying his son. He confirms it to Isaac, and here he has confirmed it to Jacob while he's standing at the top of Jacob's ladder. And now here the messenger of Yahweh is identifying himself as the God who appeared to him in that dream, or the one called God who appeared to him in that dream. Again, he's called God only because he's God's agent, not because he is God himself. Okay, we've established that, I think, pretty plainly in the previous video. All right, so he says, now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So again, Yahweh, who stood at the top of Jacob's ladder, was the messenger of Yahweh. How do we know that? Because the messenger of Yahweh here says so, right here. All right, that's important. The stone which was Jacob's pillow at Bethel, at the house of God, was anointed. The word anointed is the meaning of the word Christ. Christ in Greek is Christos, which means anointed one, right? So Jacob's pillow, the stone, and note it was a stone, is anointed as a symbol of Christ. And this anointing takes place at the foot of the ladder that reaches to heaven to a person in heaven who calls himself Yahweh, but he is the messenger of Yahweh. Now, this is an interesting statement because in John 1:51, you know that John 1 is, there's a lot about preexistence and the Logos who became flesh and all that stuff in John 1:51. And we also have John testifying that Jesus existed before him. We looked at that in the first BBI section A. And now here in John 1:51, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and notice this, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, what does that mean? Well, what Jesus is doing here is he's telling his disciple that he is the one who is now at the foot of Jacob's ladder, because descending and descending upon the Son of Man means the Son of Man is the stone that is, as human, he's the stone at the foot of the ladder. But why does he even bring to bear Jacob's ladder into this sort of analogy that he's giving here? Here's the reason. Because there's an allegory in Jacob's ladder. And that allegory shows that the angel or the messenger of Yahweh standing at the top of the ladder was the pre-human Son of God. The stone at the foot of the ladder, which Jacob anointed, represents the human Son of God, and the ladder represents his descending from heaven to become flesh. This is the allegory that is wrapped up in this statement right here, and it's wrapped up in Genesis, where we have the story of Jacob's ladder and the messenger of Yahweh standing at the top of it, making these promises. All right, now let's scoot down. In Genesis 32, after Jacob accumulates wealth, he accumulates two wives, he accumulates 12 sons, and then it's time for him to leave Laban and go back to the promised land with his wives, his sons, and with his the wealth that he has accumulated, and leave Laban. We have this incident while he's leaving. As he's on his journey, we have this incident of Jacob wrestling with the angel or the messenger of Yahweh, who then on this return trip gives some prophecy and changes his name to Israel. So Jacob then asks his name, but he refused to give it. He says it's a secret, or it was a secret. He didn't say it was a secret, but it was a secret because he refused to give it to him. And then Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face." We see that in Genesis 32, 24 through 30. Now, all of the references to the name Israel, Jacob, of course, is sometimes called Jacob after this, but he's also called Israel, which is his new name that was given to him, just like Simon's name was changed to Peter, but sometimes he's called Simon, sometimes he's called Peter after that incident. But whenever he is called Israel, and whenever his descendants are called Israel, because they came out of this man called Israel, his name was changed to Israel, all of those are pointing back to this incident where he wrestled with the angel of Yahweh, or the messenger of Yahweh. But Jacob would not give up. This is the important part. If you remember that story, while he's wrestling, he wrestled with him all night long until the crack of dawn. And the messenger of Yahweh, in a human form, is wrestling with him, and Jacob refused to give. He would not give up. And so the messenger of Yahweh touches his thigh and causes him an enormous amount of pain. And in order to get away from Jacob, who's, you know, probably got him in some kind of a headlock or something. Anyway, when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, Israel means prevailed with God. And it was because he was wrestling and he would not let him go. He would not let the messenger of Yahweh go until he blessed him. And this is what we see occurring here in Genesis chapter 32. So just keep that in the back of your mind, that whenever Jacob is referred to as Israel, it's pointing to the fact that he would not give up while he's wrestling with the messenger of Yahweh, and so his name was changed to prevailed with God. Israel, that's what it means. All right. Okay, so now let's scoot down a little bit further. Another incident, Jacob flees from the Hivites. And this is when, you probably remember the story when he has one daughter, Dinah, and the son of the king of the Hivites rapes her. And then he wants to marry her. And there's this whole incident where he wants the tribes, all of Jacob and his sons and their families, to merge with the Hivites and become one people. And so two of Jacob's sons conspire, and they say, okay, and this is without Jacob's knowledge, they say, okay, we'll do that. We'll merge with you, and you can have our sister Dinah to be the prince's wife, only if all of you are circumcised like we are, because this is part of our covenant. So you become circumcised, and we'll merge together as one people. So they agree. And so the king and his son are circumcised, and they have all of their men be circumcised at the same time, on the same day, apparently. They had to do all that in order to supposedly alleviate the wrath of the Jacob's sons for defiling their sister. And then while they're all in pain and they're sore and they can't hardly walk, then they attack them and they slaughter them, the Jacob's sons. And Jacob was furious that they did that thing. But anyway, so this is an awful time for Jacob. But the Yahweh's messenger, again, appears to Jacob in this situation. Then God said to Jacob, arise, in other words, leave this place, go up to Bethel. This is where he had the vision of the ladder, right? Go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you. Who's the God who appeared to him? The messenger of Yahweh. When you fled from the face of Esau, your brother, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. And this is because when they left Laban, some of them carried away some of Laban's idols. They took them with them. And Jacob is saying, you know what? I made a covenant with the messenger of Yahweh. It's a covenant with Yahweh through his messenger. I made this covenant. We can't have any foreign gods, so put those things away. All right. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God. Notice this, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. Well, who answered him in the day of his distress with Laban and told him how to breed the goats and the sheep? And who is it that has been with me all the way which I have gone? It is the messenger Yahweh, as we saw in the previous section. All right, now, when we get to when after Joseph's, you know, the famine, and Joseph sold into slavery, and then finally they bring Jacob and his other sons back to Egypt in order to escape the famine. And then, of course, Jacob, for the first time, meets his son again, Joseph, who was sold. And by this time, Joseph has two sons, and Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, as he's very old now. And so in Genesis 48:16, Jacob refers to Yahweh's messenger again as, quote, the angel or the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil. That is the person who was with me through my whole life, who appeared to me first at Bethel, the ladder incident, and he's been with me ever since, and he's been helping me ever since. He doesn't say Yahweh who has redeemed me from all evil, but he says Yahweh's messenger who has redeemed me from all evil. And this messenger, again, is the one who stood at the top of the ladder and has been interacting with him through these times of his life. Now, the last thing we want to look at here is when Jacob is on his deathbed, and this is shortly after probably he blessed Joseph's sons here in Genesis 48. Now we have Genesis 49. Jacob's about to die. This is when he gives instructions for his bones to be carried out of Egypt whenever God delivers them, according to the promise that God made to Abraham. He said he was going to bring them back to this land in the fourth generation after they go into slavery. He said that to Abraham. And so Jacob knows that this promise that God made to his grandfather. And so he gives the command to carry his bones. But then he goes through a list of prophecy, sort of prophetic blessings, or some of them aren't really what I would call a blessing. But he goes through these prophecies, a prophecy about each of his 12 sons and their tribes. And so he goes through Judah. I don't want to go through the one on Judah right now. It's not really relevant to this. But the one of Judah has to do with the fact that the scepter is going to be established in Judah. That is, the kingship is going to come from the tribe of Judah, and that's the tribe that the Messiah comes through, as we know. But he prophesies about Joseph also. And here's what he says. He's of Joseph. He refers to the one who has provided Joseph's victories. Because, you know, just like Jacob had these victories with Laban and with his brother Esau when he returned and God assisted him in that situation, just like that, the same messenger of Yahweh had been with Joseph and had assisted Joseph in Egypt to the point where, you know, Joseph's story, but he ends up being second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. And so when he's still in Egypt and Joseph is second only to Pharaoh while Jacob is making these prophecies, he says that it was because of, quote, the mighty one of Jacob. The mighty one of Jacob. And this statement, the mighty one of Jacob, he's referring to the one who had assisted himself, who had assisted Jacob throughout all these incidents in his life, who is called the messenger of Yahweh. This person is the mighty one of Jacob because he had what it says right here, right? He refers to Yahweh's messenger as the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil. So here in the next chapter, he refers to the mighty one of Jacob as being Joseph, or the one who had brought Joseph to this place of fulfilling the promises, really, because you may remember Joseph had dreams about his brothers collecting sheaves of wheat in the field and their sheaves bowing down to him. And that caused a lot of angst. And then he had a dream that he told them about this, the sun and the moon and 12 stars were all bowing down to him. And those were his brothers and even his parents, him being elevated above even them. And of course, all that was fulfilled when Joseph came to Pharaoh's attention and Pharaoh put him in charge of his entire kingdom, pretty much, and it saved everybody from the famine, right? So Jacob is talking about that when he's prophesying about Joseph, and what he's saying essentially is that the mighty one of Jacob, that is the one who has assisted me, Jacob, who's called the messenger of Yahweh, is the one who has brought his son Joseph to this place of superiority in the kingdom in Egypt. And so look what he says in his prophecy. He says, but his bow, that is Joseph's bow, remained firm, and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. And by saying this, he's saying that the messenger of Yahweh who assisted me has assisted my son Joseph and brought him to this place, just like he made me prevail with Laban and has protected me and provided for me. This same one, the mighty one of Jacob, not the mighty one of Joseph, but the mighty one of Jacob, has assisted Joseph and brought him to this place. Now, this statement right here at the end of verse 24 in Genesis 49 is really important, because when he says his arms are agile, or his bow remained firm, his arms are agile, that is Joseph's, from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, who is causing him to prevail. And then we have this statement, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Well, the mighty one of Jacob is clearly the messenger of Yahweh. From there, from the mighty one of Jacob, the messenger of Yahweh, is, quote, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The stone was at the foot of Jacob's ladder, who is called Israel. But he's also called the shepherd. So the stone and the shepherd of Israel, the stone of Israel, is the mighty one of Jacob, and the mighty one of Jacob is Yahweh's messenger, who appears to Jacob and talks to him, and he's seen by him there. All right, so I just want to point out a couple of things here and we'll be done, because we're not going to get into these passages now. We're going to maybe get to some of these in future lessons. But I want to point out to you that this idea of the shepherd that comes from Israel is a reference to Christ. We see this in John 10. We see it in 1 Peter 5. We see it in Hebrews 13. We see it again in Revelation 7:14. And the stone is a reference to Christ. That's in Psalm 118:22, Isaiah 8:14, Isaiah 28:16. But then these passages are quoted in the New Testament in Matthew 21:42, Mark 12:10, Luke 20:17, Acts 4:11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, 1 Corinthians 10. I didn't actually put the... I didn't put the verse number there. I think it's verse 4 where it talks about, Paul talks about the rock that followed them, Israel, in through the wilderness. And he says, and that rock or that stone was Christ. I think that's verse 4 or 6. I forget. Anyway, in Ephesians 2:20, 1 Peter 2:7-8, Revelation 7:17, all of these refer to Christ as this stone. The mighty one of Jacob, we'll also look at later when we look at prophecies in Isaiah about Zion's Redeemer, the one who is going to redeem Zion and Jerusalem and restore Mount Zion and restore Jerusalem and the kingdom, who is also the husband, referred to as the husband of the collective Israel, who divorced Israel, but then ultimately will marry Israel and those joined to Israel who are the bride of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. But that's a topic for a future video in this section as we're going through all of the scriptures, or most of the scriptures that deal with this messenger of Yahweh and who he is. We'll take up those points in future lessons. All right, so that's it for now, and we'll see you next time.